The Flight for the Human Spirit, Michael Combs' Extraordinary Response to Adversity. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Michael Combs, who is doing something a lot of people dream about, especially a lot of people who maybe have been forced out of their comfortable rut during a down economy, and that is he's flying a light sport aircraft to all 50 states, and he's going to tell us about his journey. And Michael, welcome in, and first tell us about losing your job, because I know that's a traumatic thing for a lot of people in our stage of life.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. It's one of those things that I had not planned on, and no one did. This was back in December of 09, and of course, no one plans on things like that, but it happened, and the big question is, what are you going to do next? And I think that's the question that all of us need to ask ourselves every day. What am I going to do next? And mine was, we're just going to keep on going.
Well, now, that's fine in theory, but in practice, especially with stocks in the tank, a lot of other things going on, a lot of people who thought they were ready for anything life threw at them were not. What kind of work had you been doing, and how were you prepared to go out and get an LSA and start flying it around and learn to fly it?
Yeah, I was a regional manager for a virtual tour company in Texas, and had a very nice, and I thought it was a secure job at that time, but you know, the thing is I had one thing, and that was the most important thing, and it wasn't money in the bank or stocks or anything else. I had a dream, and that dream was to fly, and so I was not going to let that dream go no matter what.
All right, now, this still sounds like a lot of people I've known. One of the big themes at AOPA Summit this year has been that anywhere from 60 to 80% of students who start flight training, primary flight training, drop out before they reach the private pilot level. You would seem to have had more challenges than many of these people because of your situation. How did you persevere through it?
Well, I think the answer there is coaching or perseverance. You know, you've got to, the reason why most people would stop pursuing any dream is no one's behind them, including themselves. I think for me, I'm my best coach. That's the way it should be with all of us. I wasn't going to let go of this dream no matter what. I promised myself years ago to live my life with no regrets. And I think it's been that philosophy that's carried me through this entire project. There have not been times during this project, or let me say that a little differently. There have been times during this project where I felt like giving up for a number of different reasons. But we all have to look within ourselves, and that's the theme of my speech tomorrow, is just finding that ability to reach within yourself to get what you want out of your life.
Okay, so how did this play when you came home and said, honey, I'm out of work. I'm going to have no income, but I want to buy a light sport aircraft, and I want to fly it for the next however long months around the country?
Well, yeah, fortunately, Michelle and I were great communicators, and our fans know that very well. I mean, she has been with me through a lot of this flight, so she understood my passion. And the thing is more than anything, she understood that it was in my heart, and I'm tapping my chest now, but she understood that it was the most important thing to me at the time is to fly. And when you see someone with that kind of a passion, I think it's human nature for all of us to do what we can to help that person out. And we see it all around the country everywhere we go. And fortunately, I've seen it everywhere I've gone in this incredible journey as well. There's a lot of people out there who have a lot of passion in their life.
All right, let's talk about the plane and the training, and then when we come back from a break, let's talk about the trip itself. How did you decide to buy a light sport aircraft, first of all? Tell us why your choice of that path rather than private, for example, and how you chose the Remos, and tell us where you're based.
Let me answer the last question first. I'm based out of Lake Dallas, Texas, that's where I live, but the aircraft is based out of Denton, Texas, just north of Dallas. As far as the choice for aircraft, I wanted to go the light sport route for several different reasons. One was to show what you can do with the light sport aircraft, and Another was the no medical. I love that. At the time when I was recovering from a serious illness, it was more of a concern than it was as I started to get closer to making my decisions for this trip. But the more people I talk to, the more I realize that the light sport aircraft industry has been getting a bad rap. First of all, people don't think they're real airplanes. Second of all, people don't think that you can fly within or outside of a 250-mile radius from your home base. And I've flown into Bravo and Charlie airspaces throughout the country, and I blow the 250-mile myth out every day of this flight. Reason why I chose Remos, I actually had very strict criteria for the plane, my plane of choice, and I had no bias on manufacturers at all. The number one factor that I considered, Paul, was that it had to make the journey. And out of the 60-some manufacturers that I looked at, I didn't think a lot of them would make a 20,000-plus-mile journey. That got me down to just three manufacturers. From there, it was, how much weight can I put in it? Because it was a huge consideration for this. Is we've got a lot of equipment. We've got a lot of technology that we're putting into this. We've got a lot of cameras and things that we want to capture this historic flight with. So weight was a big factor for us. Another was the transportability. The nice part, the reason why this Remos is sitting in the convention center right now is those wings folded up, and we were able to put it on a truck and drive it down the city streets of Long Beach to here. And having that type of portability with an aircraft is unbelievable for its marketing potential for what we wanted to do. Our whole focus and our whole mission is to reach out to 20 million people to tell them it's never, ever too late to follow your dreams, whatever they are. And I'm glad to say that we've now reached over 22 million people with this project. So I've upped my number to 50 now.
All right, we'll talk more in a moment with Michael Combs. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from AeroNews.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Welcome back to the AeroNews special feature. Paul Plack here with Michael Combs. We're talking about his round the USA touchdown in every state flight in a Remos LSA. I think a lot of people wonder what it's like. A lot of people who are more established in aviation going back before the days of sport pilot and light sport aircraft. First of all, did it take you fewer hours? Did it save you any money? And what are your overall impressions of the experience?
That's a good question, good series of questions, actually. The flight training certainly is less, and I think that's what's made a lot of people sit up and look at the light sport, because you can get back into the sky or up into the sky a lot more quickly. I don't think that the advertised number of hours is realistic. For me, it was about 40, if I remember right, 40 to 43 hours before I was ready to go for my check ride. And even then, after that, of course, it's a learning experience as you go out there in the world. 2 weeks after I had my license, we were on our way on our first cross country from Denton, Texas to Tampa, Florida. So flight training in a light sport aircraft is the way to go. And I can say that not only from my own personal firsthand experience, but also from people that I've talked to, particularly flight schools, who introduce getting people into a light sport aircraft first and then having them build their hours towards their private pilots. And I really think that the light sport aircraft industry is the industry to watch in aviation.
I would call it an epic trip. You have called it a historic trip. What's historic about it?
It's historic because no one has ever flown a light sport aircraft into all 50 states. And what makes this historic is this aircraft is an unmodified aircraft. We've done nothing to beef up the fuel capacity or anything like that. This was a demo plane when I got it, and I guess in some ways it still is a demo plane, just to a wider audience. And there's only one pilot. So I guess it still is a demo plane in some regards. And it is epic in so many ways. But you know what's been cool about this, Paul, is in the very first day I landed in Topeka, Kansas, and I had a news television reporter ask me that. And I said, you know, it's one leg at a time. Anyone can fly from, at that point I had flown from Abilene to Topeka, Kansas, and I was getting ready to fly from Topeka to Kansas City and from Kansas City to Columbia, Missouri. That's what this journey's been all about, is just one leg at a time.
I'm reminded of that old joke, you know, that, yeah, this is an epic journey, but I put my trip on just like everybody else, one leg at a time. What are the technological aspects of it? You mentioned the plane has a lot of technology in it. What are you going to do with that? What are you recording? I noticed a looked like a netbook in the back of the plane. What kinds of things are you recording, and what kinds of things are you doing live as you go across the country?
We have, as far as that netbook, that's the Fly-V system, and it has recorded two camera views. One of them has been from behind my shoulder out to the instrument panel itself, so you can actually watch me flying. And the other one simultaneously is recording a view out the front of the aircraft. And likewise, that Fly-V system captures a GPS profile, so you can see exactly on a Google Earth map where we're at. It's incredible. They've captured 160 hours of flight time in this aircraft, and cockpit audio as well, I might add, which, you know, we had to be very careful to know we're being recorded the whole time. In addition, I've been recording the flight with an HD camera, so we've got 60 hours of high-definition video. As far as other technology, we've got the Xeon flight collision avoidance system, which I have thoroughly enjoyed. One of the heart and souls of this mission has been the flight prep system. So I've always had updated sectional charts with me wherever I've flown. ForeFlight system on my iPhone. SpiderTrack system for satellite tracking has been wonderful for our fans who have been able to follow us every single day. Every 2 minutes they see a blip on the screen, and it's we've had as many as 125,000 people in a day following this flight.
That's amazing. Now, it's almost over. You've got one more big leg to go, and short of finding some inexpensive mini aircraft carriers, you're going to have to ship it to Hawaii.
Right.
When do you expect to be able to complete that?
I'm hoping at this point to do that in January or February here.
It occurs to me that your timing's been great. It looks like the first robins of spring are on the economic lawn. How are you set to maybe start banging the hammer against the rocks employmentally again once you get done with this? And why doesn't everybody prepare themselves to do something this cool during a recession?
I can never go back to another kind of life now. You just can't. And it goes back to what we all have been told forever, do what you love. And so I'm working on a book right now called The Flight for the Human Spirit. And it's not we went from here to here to here and this is what we encountered. And of course there's some of that in there, but as well it's my own personal reflections on why I wanted to give up at a certain point. But you know, really drilling home to the heart of your question, When I stopped flying in September to go back home and get ready to do the Hawaii leg and come here to Summit, I talked to a dozen good friends and business acquaintances, and all but one of them, in the conversations I had with them, used one word that just made me cringe. And I don't know if it ever would have come into my horizon if I hadn't been on this incredible journey, but that was the word can't. Mm-hmm. And Paul, I even saying that word gives me goosebumps because it's not a word that I'm used to. And it's a word that I've eliminated out of my vocabulary. I can't say can't. And these were good friends who said, you know, I would love to do this, but I can't do this because I don't have an airplane, or I can't do this because I don't have the money, or, you know, one guy wanted to advance his business, but he can't. And on and on. I heard it in a number of different conversations. And when I look at what we've done so far, it's not because of that word. When I look at where we're going from here, which we've got some great plans coming up, even as early as next summer, the word can't is not in our vocabulary.
I would presume that if someone goes to the website, they'll find enough of this that it might rub off on them. So give us that URL and tell us what's there.
It is very addictive to follow the flight for the human spirit. I hear that all the time. It's www.flighths.com.
Well, we'll wish you good luck. Maybe you'll be talked into being a Remus distributor when you get back.
Well, yeah, maybe somebody will say, Mike, I want you to work for us. Who knows? Who knows? In the meantime, I'm gonna just fly onward and see how many lives we can touch.
Michael's website has lots of detail on his trip, including a video documenting his first discovery flight in the Remus. Again, the URL is www.flighths.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.